I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 12. I'll begin there before we get over to the reading. I titled the lesson this morning, Who is Your Lord? There is no doubt the Lordship of Jesus. When Jesus resurrected and He ascended on high and sat at the right hand of the Father, in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, the apostles made it absolutely clear about the Lordship of Jesus to the Jewish nation, to Israel, by stating, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." For certain, God has made Him both Lord and Christ. He is the Messiah they were looking for. They killed Him, the anointed of God. But He's also been enthroned as Lord. Lord over all mankind. And we talk about Lord, we talk about a master. We talk about sovereignty over everyone. And He has that. And so knowing that He is sovereign, He is Lord over everybody, He has all authority. And Jesus Himself told His own apostles in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, He tells them right before He ascends back to the Father, "All authority is given to Me in heaven and on earth." He has all authority in the heaven and on the earth. That's a fact. No one's changing it. But there comes a little problem here. The question is, do we recognize Him? He is our Lord. Do we recognize Him sovereign over us? Even though He is, we may not recognize that. And what we find out is that whoever or whatever you submit your life to, that is your Lord. She was a college student. And when she got to college, she had a great need to be accepted. You see, she went through her high school years being put down and always made fun of and ridiculed. Boy, she determined when she got to college, it wasn't going to be that way. She's going to be accepted by the people. Every Friday night and Saturday night, she would go out with her friends. They would drink till they were drunk, and many times she would pass out. She was a sister in Christ. She was a Christian. And she felt horrible every single weekend because she would go through this phase. And what drove her to it? She wanted to be accepted by her peers. Who is her Lord? She was a mother. She had three children. Her own mother had passed away when she was younger, and so she never got the guidance that she felt like she needed. When she married, she wanted the acceptance of her mother-in-law. Oh, if she could get the acceptance of her mother-in-law would be the mother that she had lost and would be her guide. The problem is her mother-in-law didn't like her. She ended up and she would go out every week and she would buy an expensive gift to give to her mother-in-law. That put them in debt. Now her and her husband are having arguments over the money, the financial situation. But what drove her to buying these gifts? What evoked within her this need? She wanted acceptance from her mother-in-law. Who is her Lord? What drives people to do what they do? Why do people do things like this? This answers a lot of them. Because they're not submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. And so I want to make two points this morning about this, and I want you to see it, because whenever you start accepting or wanting to be accepted by others, and you start wanting to, or find yourself wanting to be pleasing in the eyes of others, that puts you in a serious position as far as Jesus is concerned. So the first point I want you to see here out of John 12 is that when you allow others to control your life, you have major wrong desires in your heart. In John chapter 12, we're going to see the difference between Jesus and what He went after and what man goes after. I want you to look down with me at verse 27. Now, my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Even though Jesus was struggling in his soul that he was going to be the sacrifice, he knew the purpose that he came for and what he was going to do. And he wasn't going to ask God to save him from it because of his purpose. Now look at verse 28. Excuse me. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What was Jesus' concern? He knows he's going to die. He knows what's coming. But his concern is, I want your name glorified, God. I want God to get all the glory. I want God to get all the praise. Everything is about God. And that's what Jesus' concern was. Well, after Jesus speaks this, he goes through and he does some miracles around the people. The miracles aren't accepted. They're not listening to his word. They won't hear what he has to say. Well, I want you to come on down with me to verse 42. Look what happens. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. I mean, here Jesus does miracles. What's the people's reaction? There were many of the rulers that believed in Jesus. Now listen. Just because you and I make a claim to believe in Jesus does not make it a reality. He said, here they were, they believed in Him, but what were they not doing in verse 42? They were not confessing Him, they were fearful of the Pharisees. They're not going to confess, they're not going to speak openly of Jesus. There was something else going on with them, and their fear, he says at the end of verse 42, that they would be put out of the synagogue. You know what? There were people that believed in Him. But they're not confessing Him because their Lord wasn't Jesus. They weren't concerned about glorifying God. Their concern was fear of people. They're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. You know how disgracing that would be for some of them? I mean, if you get back into John 9, you've got the fellow who was healed. He got kicked out of the synagogue. And his parents, boy, they weren't about to touch it. You go back through and read it. Because they were fearful they were going to get kicked out. Well, here the rulers are. You know, they're concerned that they're going to be put out of synagogue. So they're not confessing Jesus. Now, something else is going on in their heart, verse 43. For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. There it is. What do you think the problem is? Anytime you want man's approval, that's your Lord. That's who you yield to. That's who you want to be, you know, want to be around. That's who you want to please. Now let me tell you something. See, it doesn't take a doctorate degree to figure these things out. You know why many people struggle with self-control or self-esteem issues? We hear it all the time. Oh, they got a low self-esteem. They want to build their esteem up. You know how they do it? Find the approval of man. That's how people go about things. And what happens is that Jesus isn't their Lord. People easily get talked into guilt when they're not guilty. They let someone make and put guilt on them when they're not guilty. Who's your Lord? Whoever put guilt on you? You ever heard someone ask the question, what's wrong with me? The focus becomes you, and guess what you try to do? In life, you're going to try to figure out something because you think something's wrong with you. What if you looked for the approval of God? What if you looked for the Lordship of Jesus over you? And you, what would you find? See, this solves a lot of problems in life right here. Well, knowing that, come back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Jesus ends up and he goes to the Feast of Booths. It's a Jewish feast. He goes there secretly. He tells his disciples, y'all go on without me. You go on. I'll be there later, you know. And he comes up in secret. And when he gets there, look at verse 11. So the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, where is he? Verse 12. There was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying he is a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he leads the people astray. What do you got in the discussion here? You got some of the people thinks he's a good man. You got some of the people thinks, no, he takes people away. Leads them astray. We got two concerns. Now, what if they're talking about you? What would you be tempted to do? Well, we got to sway these people that are speaking evil of me. We got to show them that, yeah, we're really a good man. But here they're having this discussion, verse 13, yet no one was speaking openly of him for the fear of the Jews. I mean, what was keeping them from speaking openly about Jesus? Fear. Fear. Fear dominated their thinking. Fear dominated their life. And now, there has to be a decision made. There's got to be a decision made. Is Jesus going to be your Lord, or are you going to let fear and pressure from others be your Lord? One of the two is going on in this situation. Verse 14. But when it was now in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned, having never been educated? All right, now we get the attack. How in the world has Jesus come up to be able to teach anything and he's never had a formal education? That's the way man thinks sometimes. Man thinks education is everything. Now, I'm not putting it down. I'm not saying it's not important. But when it comes to spiritual matters, it's not about education. And so now their first attack at this, at his teaching, is that he's uneducated. Are we going to listen to this uneducated man? Now, what are you going to do, Jesus? Look at verse 16. So Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. I came to glorify God. I came to make sure God gets all praise and adoration. And you know, and he says, you know what I'm doing here? You've got to be willing to do the will of the Father. If you're going to find out where the teaching is from, if you'll do the will of the Father, you'll find out whether or not the teaching comes from God or it comes from another source. And Jesus wasn't about to back down on that one. This is it. The question is anybody willing to do the will of God? That's always the question at hand, verse 18. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true and there is no unrighteousness in him. You know, Jesus speaks. Hey, I don't seek man's glory. It's God's. But whenever you speak from your own, whenever you can come up on your own with ideas, you know what he said? You're seeking your own glory. And there's way too many preachers that seek their own glory. They're doing things for the praise and adoration of man. And that's wrong. All your TV evangelists do it. It's all about their glory, their honor. Jesus makes it really clear. You know what? You better be willing to do the will of the Father. Because if you're not, you're a self-glory seeker. You're your own Lord. And your lordship is amazed by the people that praise you, that adore you. Verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you carries out the law? Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered, you have a demon who seeks to kill you. Stop it right there. Here's their willingness. If you're willing to do the will of the Father, you'll find out where the teaching comes from. You'll be giving God the glory. You know what they do? You have a demon. Now, quick question. Why does anybody call another a name? You know what name calling is all about? So you can be their Lord, and they will submit to you as their Lord. That's what name calling is always. You know, there's nobody willing. They're calling a name. You have a demon. You know, you can get people to use personal attacks on you. You know why? They want to get you to submit. That's what it's all about. You remember as kids growing up, you'd be in a situation and you're being challenged by the other kids and, fraidy cat, fraidy cat. Why do you think they say that? Chicken? Are you chicken? And you know, it's amazing that the ones calling you that are the ones not even willing to do whatever it is they're trying to talk you into. But you're the fraidy cat? Now, if you're concerned about, if you're not concerned about the Lordship of Jesus, then you're gonna buckle under to the fraidy cat stuff, and you're gonna go do it, and you're gonna feel horrible about it. They just became your Lord. Or, we bring it forward as adults. We do some of the same things. Do you think you're better than me? Why do you think someone says that? They're wanting to bring you under their lordship and make you back down from the things of the Lord. You think you're better than me? Here's another one. Don't you love me? Any times you heard that one? Someone is trying to talk you into something, and the first thing they do is have you questioned on love. Don't you love me? Well, if you've got to ask me that question, then something is definitely wrong. These are all things that are done to try to control people, and if you give over to it, you're on a wrong road. You're on wrong desires. You can't do that to give yourself under the control of another person. If your heart isn't set on the Lordship of Jesus, you're going to buckle under people and want their approval every time. And that's what creates wrong desires within us. Well, that's point one. Point two. Seeking the approval of others destroys your personal faith every time. Come back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, when you seek the approval of others, it destroys your faith. Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees, and notice what he says. You search the Scriptures, verse 39, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Talking to these Pharisees, notice what he says about them in Scripture. Why do they search the Scripture? They think in the Scripture, the possession of Scripture is what gives them eternal life. And we think, well, my, how silly is that? Well, the Pharisees had it. And Jesus said, that's what you think. And you know, it's not much different from us in the church. A lot of times we think that we have a daily you know, Bible reading. We pray every day. We have devotionals from time to time in our homes. And we even assemble every time the doors are open. And we think because we do those things, we have eternal life. That's the same thing that they're doing. They just have the Scripture. So you and I can do the same thing. Verse 39. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. What was the purpose of Scripture? The purpose of all of this Scripture, right here, is to testify about Jesus. To bring His testimony to man. That's what these things are for. And so, this isn't, Scripture aren't a badge of honor. Coming to worship's not a badge of honor. Reading your Bible every day is not a badge of honor. And I'm not trying to downplay and say, well, you don't need to do those things. Those things are the result of being saved. Those things are the result of Jesus is my Lord. That's what those are. Look at verse. Here, I switched my pages. Verse 40. And He said, and you're unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Life. Eternal life is only found with Jesus. If you have any other Lord, if you seek approval from any other place, if you seek man's approval any way, any shape, any form, you don't have Jesus, and you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You're dead. And so, that's what He's asking. You're unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. They're unwilling. They want to do other things. That's where the problem comes in. People are unwilling. Continue on. Verse 41. I do not receive glory from men. Jesus said, there we go. I'm not after your glory, your acceptance. Verse 42. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. You know, it's amazing to know how Jesus knows every one of us. He knew every one of these people that He encountered when He walked on this earth. He knows everyone now. And He said, you know what I know about you? Oh, you got Scriptures. You can teach them. You can quote them. But you don't have the love of God. Love of God's not in yourselves. Love of God's not a part of you. You know, why? Well, Jesus said, your Lord, Father's not who you're interested in glorifying. Continue on, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. That's typical man. Someone comes in their name, and we've got somebody that, you know, on earth that is known, well known, or some big time speaker or whoever. They come in and, boy, we will tout about them and we will receive them, you know, and we will give all this glory and praise and we will put it on them. And Jesus said, here I've come and named my Father. And I seek my Father's glory. And you don't receive anything I say. Who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? You know, if another comes to his own name, he says, you'll receive him. We're more concerned about what people think than God. And over the many, many years, I've always... And there was a time in my life, I was the same way. I did the same thing. You know, Grandma comes into town on the weekend. You choose to stay home because Grandma's there rather than come to worship. Who's your Lord? What could you teach? If whoever is there and they're unbelievers, they're outside the realm of Christ, and you sit there and now you're going to show that you're my Lord when you're in my house. What do you need to show them? What do they need to be able to see in you and in me? Oh. There's another side to this. I have known of those. They only show up when their family shows up because they want their family's approval. You know, sometimes you won't see a person once, two, three times a year. That's when their family comes into town. You think people don't know the hypocrisy of that? Who is the Lord in this deal? They want everybody's approval, but what the Lord thinks. There's no love of God in that. There's no willingness to find out anything about God. It's just pretending and playing the game. And Jesus knows what's in man. And He knows the difference. And if you notice, there's no life within them. There's no stirring. There's no wanting. Who is your Lord when you come to things like that? Look at verse 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? How in the world can you believe? You can't even have any faith, any saving faith within you when you seek the glory from man, from one another. You can't believe anything about God. See, it all depends on who's your Lord. You want the glory of God? Well, I'll tell you what, every one of us in here, when it comes to that day, I want Jesus standing by my side and I want God speaking my name. Don't you? I want any praise that comes. It doesn't matter if I've been preaching for 50 years or whatever. You know, it doesn't matter how many people you've taught. That's all insignificant. Why? Because none of it happens without the graciousness of God. Without the cross of Jesus. None of it. Who's your Lord? Who do you seek glory from? Well, let's close with this. Come over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we won't take time to explain it. But I'll tell you what, the quickest way to die is that you seek approval of men and you want others to be pleased with you. You know, some people move about, they just want to be people pleasers. You can't do that. You can't do that. You know, I'll throw this on the side. You know, a lot of years preaching and teaching, sometimes I know I have to preach things that does not make some of you very happy. I know that. But it all depends on whether or not I want God's glory or your favor. Oh, we can all quote, you know, just kind of smooth everything over and make us all one big happy family and no one has to face anything and wrong is not wrong and let's just be happy and that ain't going to save your soul. That's not going to do anything to help you. We got to seek the glory of God. And that means we got to be willing to do His will. In Galatians chapter 1, Galatian is a region. Paul had gone through and established congregations in each town. And he says in verse 6, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine in the church there are people who actually are distorting the gospel of Christ? Oh yeah, I can believe it. All you got to do is look for man's approval. All you got to do is seek favor from people. You can distort the gospel easily. But they're taking the gospel and they're twisting it to something that it wasn't intended to be. And Paul says, you know what, in verse 6? You're quickly deserting Him. You know, whenever you switch this gospel around and you start playing games with this thing, you desert Jesus. And Jesus is the only one that has life. He says in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we've said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. That's serious business if you're going to be accursed. You better be careful about what we're doing with this gospel. This isn't a social gospel. This gospel of Jesus Christ save you from your sins. This gospel seeks the approval of God. This gospel is founded in a resurrected Christ. And so Paul concludes in verse 10, "Or am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Did you get that? Ain't no bondservant of Jesus if you're a man pleaser. If you and I are trying to seek for the approval of others, if you and I are being have this need to want to be needed by other people, and that's, well, I can't go without that. Oh, it's going to leave you faithless. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And without faith, you're not getting anywhere close to God through Jesus. And so you and I, Paul knew, I'm not seeking man's favor. This isn't about a popularity thing. It's a salvation issue. So the question that you have to answer for you, and you just examine your life, the things that you do, the decisions you make, the places you go, do you buckle under the pressure of others? Who's your Lord? Do you seek the approval? Who's your Lord? And then one day, you'll stand before the Sovereign One, the Lord of heaven and earth, who has all authority. Explain it to Him. Oh, think about that. I pray you will. Let's move forward with the Lord Jesus, because right there is where you're going to find approval ratings. And He needs to be our approval.